Welcome to the Best Science Medicine Podcast, BS without the BS.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 482nd episode of the Best Science Medicine Podcast. My name is James McCormack, and I'm a professor with the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of British Columbia.
You didn't really know who you were with there.
I lost it for a second, but most people wouldn't have noticed it, but thanks for pointing it out to the listening audience that I forgot where I was from.
Where you are right now. Yeah. I'm Mike Allen. I'm a family doctor and the director of practice support at the College of Family Physicians of Canada. I'm also an adjunct professor at the University of Alberta.
And the reason it was tricky coming out to, I didn't really want to say exactly where we are, because both Mike and I are in a bath right now.
Separately.
Oh, you didn't need to add that, but tell him why we're in a bath.
Well, it would work for me. I do have, we should have our disclosures up front. So my disclosure for this one is that I have atopic dermatitis. I'm not selling anything, and you'll see after we talk that there's nothing to sell here.
other than a bath with Mike Allen.
That's one of the possible convictions, a life sentence or.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to the evidence or the topic.
This is a really common thing you hear, and sometimes you hear the extreme alternative. We've heard at one of the conferences that we've run, James, that dermatologists say that they don't believe in bathing kids with eczema, which is interesting. But the majority is what you hear is baths and bath variations. So with bleach added, with certain additives to the bath, so all sorts of things. So we're going to take a deeper dive into when you consider a patient with atopic dermatitis, what should we be recommending that baths or showers can do to improve their health, and what special characteristics of the bath need to be noted?
Yeah, and believe it or not, there is some evidence.
And there, it's partly shocking that there's evidence, but also please remember that when we tell you the trial sizes and such things, that they're small numbers because these are publicly funded studies.
Yeah.
And that is always going to be a challenge in this environment. So the first one to me is how often. Mm-hmm. Most people bathe relatively regularly, and that might vary from a couple times a week to every day or even more. Mm-hmm. But what is the right amount for someone with atopic dermatitis or eczema? And most of this research is on kids. So this was a crossover RCT of 42 kids with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. And these kids were told, or randomized rather, for a kind of two-week period to bathe twice a week or to bathe twice a day. Now, one of the keys here is that moisturizers were used on a regular basis regardless. So even if you were in twice a week bath, you were still told to use a moisturizer or an emollient twice a day if you could. Mm-hmm. And certainly any time after a bath, you were supposed to apply a moisturizer. Now, James, as you know, what we look for in any kind of study like this, where we're looking at a change in symptoms, rather than avoiding a big outcome like a heart attack or stroke, a change in symptoms, mm-hmm. What we're looking for is how many got to a meaningful improvement and what are the scale changes. So in this case, let's deal with how many got to a meaningful improvement, which is, in this case, 30%, and that's the one we often pick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean, and actually, 30% or more.
Yeah, 30% or more improvement in your symptoms. So of the kids who were on twice daily baths, the 58% of them got there. And in the ones who were on twice a week baths, 15% got there. That's a number needed to treat of 3, or an improvement about 43%. So between an NNT of 2 and 3, but we always round down, so it's 3. Or round up, rather, for number needed to treat. Now, what about the mean symptom score? Like most symptom scores, when you're trying to interpret it from trials, you don't get all the information you need. So in a perfect study, we get what the scale is out of, where the patient started, where they got in the control group, and where they got in the intervention group. But we didn't get that. What we got is what the scale is out of. It's a SCORAD scale, and it was out of 103, with higher being worse. The mean baseline for these kids was 42, which is pretty significant eczema. And the twice day, we don't know how much it dropped with twice weekly, but from that 42, twice daily baths was 21 points better than twice weekly. So you can imagine that the twice weekly improved somewhat from 42. You could guess whatever that would be, 5 or 10. And this was 21 points better, so a lot better. Like, it got to at least half of their scores, if not more. Yeah. So this is there's two different outcomes that both agree with each other. And even though it's only 42 kids, it's a cross. So we're both, so it's almost like an 84 person RCT. Mm.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that twice daily baths is clearly better than twice weekly.
Yeah. And yeah, like, you got a 40 to 50% absolute difference. I mean, you don't need any more than 42 children to be able to figure that out. So I think, you know, it's a pretty,
yeah,
you know, you don't, you know, the trial was, you know, relatively well done, and it, from the concept of it, and asked the right question, it was an interesting question, and, you know, they were able to show a clear benefit. So even if there were some methodological issues, it's not going to account for a 50% absolute difference, or 40.
Yeah. Or like a 40% absolute difference. Yeah. And the biggest nuance here would be the issue of the moisturizers being applied. And it seems to indicate in the trial that they did push parents in both groups to apply moisturizers regularly. So it seems like it's the bath. That would be the piece that it would have been really great if they had been completely explicit on that rather than some vaguer language.
Right.
But that's really the biggest crux of it. So the next piece is that occurred to me is a shower the same or better or worse than a bath? And I could not find an RCT on that. There is some studies. There's three of them. One was in Japanese and entirely in Japanese with no abstract, so I couldn't get really anything from it. But I did.
So you really didn't make much of an effort. In other words, I mean, why not take a year, learn Chinese, and do it?
I should have learned the language. That's what I should have done.
Yeah.
Just taken a 2 year break.
Yeah.
And learn the language to read this one cohort study. So what we're left with is one non-randomized trial and one intervention cohort. And what happened in this is these were kids who were going to school in Japan, and they were assigned to take a shower every day at school over lunch hour. So they were getting whatever they were already getting at mm-hmm. home. And this was just added on. And what was found was an improvement in atopic dermatitis scores in both of those studies. So they're not randomized trials, so they're somewhat at risk, but still it does seem to lend to the fact that showers may be just as good as baths, and frequency really matters. Okay. James, any questions about those before we move
on? No, I understand the difference between a shower and a bath, so we're good.
Okay. Woo. Well.
Yeah. And again, and
said, you know, it couldn't be done, but James McCormick has learned.
Yeah. No. And the bottom line is as with any intervention, even with a 40 to 50% absolute benefit, a number of people don't. So it's all about trial and error, right?
Yeah. For the people.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are people who actually felt that their eczema was better bathing less.
Mm-hmm.
It's much less, but there are 15, like 1 in 8 people thought, yeah, that's better for me. So. Interesting enough. Bleach baths. This is often brought up, and we hear it a lot for people with atopic dermatitis. So let's, and there is nuances here. So what about people with bacterial infections secondary to their atopic dermatitis? So we'll deal with that next. But first, let's just talk about atopic dermatitis and the benefits of bleach baths in patients with atopic dermatitis without additional bacterial infection. In this case, what we're talking about is 4 RCTs with 116 patients with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis, again, in a bleach bath for 5 to 10 minutes twice a week versus just a regular bath without the bleach added. And this was over 4 weeks. And what's interesting here is that there was no difference in anything. No difference in atopic dermatitis scores, no difference in the area covered by atopic dermatitis, and no difference in staphylococcal colonization. And the real benefit here is that there's no harm.
Right. with no benefit, the harm is you've got to do it.
Yeah, that's just it. But there's no other adverse events other than the challenge of mixing the right amount of bleach and blah, blah, blah. But it's not a ton of bleach. I've heard it quoted as not dissimilar to a pool or a hot tub, but this is not beneficial for atopic dermatitis. The trials are short and small and heterogeneous. There may come a time where we get a really big trial that does show benefit, but right now the best available evidence is bleach baths do not work for general atopic dermatitis. Yeah.
And certainly we're not missing a huge difference.
No, it's unlikely with 116, but who knows? Maybe a big study could come along. Now, regarding kids with clinical bacterial infection in their skin related to their atopic dermatitis, there's an RCT of 22 kids, and that's one that's quoted relatively often because these kids got an improvement in their scores of atopic dermatitis for that which was submerged, so anything below their neck, basically. And they had an improvement in their atopic dermatitis scores, which was probably being exacerbated by their skin infections, which is often a staph infection that gets into the eczema. And this is and what's interesting here, though, is it might not be only the atopic dermatitis. What might be going on as well is it might not only be the bleach, it might also be nasal mupirocin. Nasal mupirocin is been studied a number of times, so that's Bactroban. And you put it in the nares twice a day to reduce staphylococcal numbers around the body. And it doesn't, of course, get rid of it because nothing could, but it reduces them and therefore has been shown to be beneficial in people who have recurrent folliculitis and some other things. Not all studies, but some. And I think that was also added to the bath group, the bleach bath group. So we're not sure. And additionally, when you're talking about the quality of the studies, people in the bleach bath mupirocin group were much more severe than the other group, which means that if you think about atopic dermatitis, it's like when you're at your worst, you're likely to be heading towards better anyway. Mm-hmm. So and it's a 22 person study. So it's really tricky to put too much weight in. And there was a 40 patient study, a crossover RCT of 40, so bigger. And there was no difference from that one, even though these kids did have clinical bacterial infection mixed in with their atopic dermatitis. So that one, for atopic dermatitis alone, nothing. If infection is there, some mixed results. But the one study was not clean by any stretch.
Yeah, no, and it looks like pretty much nothing as well. I mean, it's especially with a crossover with no difference. That's for sure.
Okay, the last two things that you can do. So there is a couple of there's a systematic review of additives, and when we're talking about additives here, we're thinking of something that's probably familiar to you for those who've managed eczema or have kids with it, is Aveeno additives, which is kind of an oatmeal mixture, or something that's used more commonly in the UK called Oleatum. And these two are the most common ones used, and the reason I gave them as examples is because they were used primarily in a clinical trial, which we're going to get to. There's a systematic review with 5 RCTs and 115 patients, but tons of kind of inconsistencies there. 111 patients, and it's not really reliable, especially when you compare it to a big RCT of 482 kids done in primary care in the UK and followed for a full year. So that one is a lot more robust and a lot more believable. And they took kids with moderate atopic dermatitis and they assigned them to bath additives or none, and then they let the clinician and the patients choose the type of bath additive. if history of other research says anything, when you let people choose the courses they want, they're a little bit more likely to get benefit. So you should see a benefit. It would be stacked in favor of finding a benefit if it's stacked anyway. And the answer is they didn't find any benefit from adding bath additives.
Yeah. And so those are the two different kinds, I guess, or the most, like you said, the most commonly used ones. So we're still looking at baths are good.
Baths are good by themselves. You don't need to add anything. And the last one is, well, what about hard water? Is it more difficult for eczema? So what if we used a water softener for kids living in areas with hard water? So in this, they defined hard water as more than 200 milligrams per liter of calcium carbonate. Now, James, I'm sure you had that number memorized before we...
Well, of course, I mean...
How to define hard water.
Yeah, well, I have, in both my shower and my bath, I have a nozzle that...
switches over.
Yeah, and it infuses calcium carbonate to the exact amount that I need.
Because you're a tough guy, so you need hard water.
I do. I don't know where you're going with this, but keep going.
Just bugging you like usual. So this was taking kids with moderate to severe, living in areas with hard water. So this is kind of meeting the definition of enough calcium carbonate in. And they gave them ion filters to soften the water. And that was in these populations. So one group got the water softener and the other group didn't. And after 12 weeks... these 336 kids, there was no difference in their eczema. So it really wasn't impacting things either. So I think if you were to summarize all of this, and there's a lot of research, obviously, we've gone over, adding stuff to baths, not really important. Taking them regularly and probably taking them as a bath or a shower, important.
Yeah.
For most patients, not all, some... some will not get a benefit. If you were to summarize it down, there is guidelines do recommend bathing and applying moisturizer, and that's one of the things they absolutely stress. Things like ointments, so on the cheap would be Vaseline, expensive would be Aquaphor, thick creams like Glaxo Base, and these are unmedicated. These are just making sure that the tendency to dry skin is managed as much as possible. So you come out of your bath or shower, you don't vigorously rub your skin with your towel to get it dry. You actually just kind of pat it off or lightly use the towel so the skin is still damp, and immediately apply an ointment or thick cream.
And I think maybe
for that lots.
Yeah, and I think maybe one of the reasons people might want to put it in a bath is it makes it easier, because you're sort of applying it while they're in the bath. But
you mean like the emollient?
Yeah. And so...
That's the dream.
Right? Yeah.
That they come out with a sense of moisture.
But yeah, but the evidence doesn't support it. So you kind of hooped.
It's coming out and putting it on. And this is the amount that you would get from something like an Aveeno or whatever versus the amount you get by coating yourself in Vaseline it's not even remotely comparable. Yeah. And then advocacy for things like bleach baths and everything else, that persists in guidelines pretty much across the board. But when you look at, but some of them are starting to recognize that the evidence doesn't support it. So UpToDate says they acknowledge that the evidence does not support the use of bleach baths, but they still recommend them.
Yeah, which is, and again, I guess there's probably little harm. I mean, you could make an argument that
that was their main argument. Yeah. That's kind of why I joke about
it. Yeah. Other than, you're going to get a bleach smell, which not everybody likes. There's not much of an additional cost because bleach is very, very inexpensive. But, I don't know if anyone ever gets irritated by bleach or they don't like the feel of it on their skin. I mean, there's some things you could argue that, I guess I wouldn't even bother going down that route unless a whole bunch of these other things didn't work.
Yeah, and if there was good evidence, and right now even the evidence for ones that are co-infected with Staphylococcus, and you're not even sure if it's mupirocin that's working in the bleach bath. That's the problem. So, if we were to sum up, we would say more frequent baths or showers, once at minimum, twice a day probably, will improve symptoms meaningfully. That means like 30% or more. for 40% more patients than less frequent bathing. Mm-hmm. And don't forget the moisturizers. Despite the enthusiasm, bleach baths, bath additives, water softeners, etc., are not required for atopic dermatitis at the present time until the evidence base changes. And you know, really, this is what I liked about this Tools for Practice, which is coming out in a week or two. What I like about it so much is that it's so simple. Mm-hmm. The answer is just giving those kids or adults with eczema a few more baths and putting on the moisturizers. And, you know, that's really the answer. There's no magic trick, no super ingredient. It's just giving those baths more.
So it's a simple...
They're lukewarm baths. That's the other thing that sometimes gets talked about. The super hot shower or whatever would end up drying the skin more. So that's why it's supposed to be lukewarm.
Yeah. So simple tools for practice, simple recommendations written by simple people.
With the emphasis on the final symbol.
No, it's good. Now, I know you mentioned at the beginning you have some atopic dermatitis. Did I pluralize that? Atopic dermatitis.
Dermatitis.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened. Did any of this change anything that you would do, or were you surprised?
So the interesting thing about me in particular is that I have, when my eczema has gotten worse, used twice a day baths, mm-hmm. Because I have found that successful for myself with ointment immediately afterwards. But because mine is so severe, I have been on the biologic agent,
right?
And that has made such a huge difference. It's more effective than prednisone, anything for me. If you look at the literature, it's not effective for everybody. As James, I'm sure.
There's almost very few things that are effective for everybody.
Exactly. Very few things that are even PPI. Sildenafil general anesthetic is really it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm just one of the people that got lucky, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Knock on wood, which is my head.
Yeah.
But before, when I couldn't fall back on that, then I was using I was often using baths twice a day, showers, and then applying moisturizer, which, you know, it's a
procedure.
It's a procedure.
Yeah.
It eats a chunk out of every single day.
Yeah. No, good stuff. No, I appreciate you letting us know, you know, that what you went through with this. I mean, you did that when we talked about tertiary syphilis and you brought up my experience with that. And so I thought it'd be okay.
Yeah. And your rage problems. I don't know if we've spent enough of the podcast time on your various physical
afflictions. We're getting close to episode 500, and that's when we bear it all. Yeah, everything comes out.
we'll wear both our dirty laundry.
Oh yeah,
that will be our 500th and final episode.
Yeah. So we're at that point as always. Anything else you want to say, Mike?
No, that's awesome. Just another thing in relation to my work at CFPC, if you have a chance, check out CFPC Learn. It's an online learning platform with a whole bunch of variety of options for different types of learning, watching shows, playing games, doing all sorts of things.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that sounds good. So I think we'll just leave it at that. So thanks as always for listening.
Talk to you later.